Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine. This may come as a surprise to a lot of people, but all Black children are not going to be interested in sports and entertainment.
Is that a fact?
That is a fact.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I feel that my children need to be exposed to professionals, successful professionals in every different realm, because they need to know that there's a possibility that they can be one too.
Dead ass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention. We're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now. Give us a good story. Make it good.
I got a great story.
All right.
It's a story of accountability. When a young Black father from Brooklyn had to realize that all of his sons are not going to be athletes. Talking about myself, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you are said father.
I'm said father.
Okay.
So as you guys know, I have 4 whole boys. Jackson, Cairo, Kaz, Dakota. Jackson came out swag savage. How much more can I say? Dude played football, was a starting quarterback, led
his
team in touchdowns.
My baby.
Now plays basketball. He's a little bit of a beast.
Yeah.
Loves rap music.
A whole athlete.
You know, he's that kid, you know?
Perhaps because he was born in Brooklyn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know. Then Cairo followed up. Adores Jackson.
Yes.
So everything Jackson does, Cairo's purpose in life is to do it better. Jackson's into sports, so Cairo's into sports.
Cairo it's can't like, wait to grow.
Yeah, it's not even.
Poor baby.
He keeps talking about is, "Daddy, see, I got taller than yesterday." I'd be like, "Yeah, yeah, bro, yeah, you definitely got taller than yesterday." Then along came Kaz. Kaz literally said, little stupid ass bitch. I ain't no. Kaz literally is just like, I don't want to do anything my brothers want to do. Right? And
the Sagittarius he is.
They'll run outside, they'll get their basketballs, they'll do all this other stuff. And I always have this thing where I say, you know, where's your brothers? And they're like, they're outside. Then he'll go run outside, play with them for 30 minutes and come inside. But Kaz loves to paint. He's an artist. He loves to do stuff with his hands. And Kadeen and I just recently went to an industry friend of ours' house, and they have a huge house, 25,000 square feet. I would say about 7,000 of square footage of the house is dedicated to art.
Yes.
And Black artists.
Beautiful.
And
amazing pieces.
it was like a light bulb in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I was missing time with Cash, trying to force him to be with his brothers, doing his things that his brothers wanted to do, and not paying attention to what may truly be his passion.
Mm.
And that's art.
Mm.
Let me see if you know this.
I got you. I love this song.
I know I can be what I want to be. If I work hard at it, I'll be where I want to be. I know I can. I know I can be what I want to be.
Be what I want to be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I want to be. Yes. 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 One of my favorite songs.
That's a good song.
All right, guys. We'll be back in a little bit after a short break. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us. And it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact. And the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know, I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I am an artist at heart. I can sketch.
Yes.
I can paint. I can draw.
I was pleasantly surprised when you showed me in your basement when we first mm-hmm. started dating, there was a painting of like a leopard or something
leopard, yeah.
on the wall. And you were like, yeah, I painted that. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's pretty impressive. I said, me over here, yeah. my stick figure game is popping. Other than that, don't ask me to draw nothing, you know? But it's funny because I was a makeup artist for years. So mm-hmm. I guess there is some sort of creative artistry that goes along
Absolutely.
With that.
You remember the sketch I sketched of you in college?
Yes, I remember.
I was addicted to her in college, as you can tell. I sketched a portrait of her. I am addicted. Well,
you need to do a.
I am addicted to her.
Version of that. You know, this mom of four boys.
I'll sketch you.
Yeah, that would be cute. That would be cute, little like date night situation. I'm not.
That actually would be cute.
Yeah.
So you could just be like a nude model, and I can sketch you.
Oh, that would be fancy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk about foreplay too.
That's what you call addiction.
Ew. But,
back to story time. So I was, you know, I've always been into art and stuff like that. And I remember my parents, when I in summertime, when I used to go to my grandparents' house, mm-hmm. they used to take us to the Boys and Girls Club, but then they also used to take me to the Rose Center. Mm-hmm. And the Rose Center was a place where I could explore my artistic side. Mm-hmm. But I also remember being made fun of when I was a young kid, because you know how it is if you grow up in a black community, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't play sports or if you don't rap, if you do anything outside of that, they call you soft, right? And I was called all sorts of names and stuff like that because I was always into drama club. I used to dance and I used to do art. So, but I was the type of kid that would bust your ass in basketball and football and then go to
if need be,
the drama club. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
But I also remember feeling as if I wanted my boys to have that masculine side of them and always be able to do sports so that they could prove to people that they're not soft. And with our boys, I noticed that I was not putting as much energy into Kaz's artistic side mm-hmm. as I was the other two's athletic side. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, you know, I always make Kaz find his brothers. Mm-hmm. Go find your brothers, go do that. But I never make them find him and say, yo, your brother's going to paint. Why don't you go paint with your brother?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's playing with the Play-Doh. Yes. Like, why don't y'all go do that? And I said, you know what, Devon? That's messed up. You know, that really is messed up.
It's funny you mentioned that because at first I was just like, oh, Kaz is a Sagittarius. I mean, like, we just like to be alone sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. we just like our independent time. And but even when we were talking to Kaz's teacher in mm-hmm. school, she would say, you know, I'm wanting Kaz to be a little bit more social. He kind of does things off to the mm-hmm. side by himself. And I was like, sis, that's just how we are. Like, we don't always want to be messing right. with y'all, you know. But it's interesting that you said that bringing the boys in to meet Kaz where he is.
Yes.
Is a pretty, I never thought of it that way, you know. I never thought of it that way. So that's interesting. So we need to implement that more.
I think it's also, it's reinforcing a stereotype mm-hmm. and bringing in a generational trauma that he can only exist in a space of excellence if he's involved in certain things like sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because sports, every black child is not going to get into sports or performance.
Right. Now,
every black child don't tell jokes.
That's
every black child ain't funny. Every black child don't dance. Every black child don't rap
or sing.
Or sing, you know? So,
right.
And
what percentage is it for the NFL? Like that?
It's less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Less than 1%.
Make it to the NFL.
Right. And it's important that, and it's even smaller for the NBA just numbers wise because more people play basketball and less people will make it on NBA teams.
Yeah.
So whereas an NFL team has 53 people plus 8 men on a roster, an NBA team has 15 people on a roster.
Mm-hmm.
So and more people are playing basketball and less are playing football because football is a violent sport.
To double down on your story time, this is another small story time or moment that we mm-hmm. had where you in turn caught a little bit of a fault in the way you dealt with the situation. It was Kaz's birthday party, right? So, you know, we want to do something small and intimate. It's still COVID outside.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, what can we do for Kaz's party? And I'm just like, Kaz, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, he's into painting and art and whatnot. So I find a local art studio and it's a private space where you can have a birthday party. So we literally got like our closest two friends that happen to have kids. We got mad kids. So it's a birthday party, you know? And at the birthday party, the kids are sitting down and they're painting Christmas trees or something because Kaz's birthday is close to Christmas. It's the holiday season. And you got up and left for the entire party and went with the dads and went to get some wings and had a drink. And you were gone. And I was there with the moms and we were overseeing the activity. And you came back at the end of the party in time to sing happy birthday. And then mm-hmm. you said to me, damn, Kay, I dropped the ball on that situation. Yeah. Because had it been a sport birthday party or a basketball birthday party or something at Sky Zone or something, I probably would have been there playing basketball with them or like making a game out of it. And because it was something that I wasn't particularly interested in that moment, I just left for the 2 hours. And that was like a really teachable moment, I think, for us as parents and then for you as a dad and for you to admit that, man, like I was really wrong in that circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, bro. Like the minute you have a son, you know, you're like, oh, you're going to be playing sports. The same way if you have a daughter, it's just like, oh, she's going to do dance. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or she's going to do pageants. Like mm-hmm. we as parents have these ideas of what our children are going to be. Mm-hmm. Right. And for me, this being my third son, it's like I was used to the routine. Like mm-hmm. I was so just like used to what it was going to be. But Kaz wanted to have a paint party. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not painting no Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then I had to realize to myself, like, dang, if they were at Hoopland, I would have been there. Mm-hmm. If they went to a trampoline park, I would have been there. Mm-hmm. And I had to realize, you know, like, Black excellence doesn't look like one thing. Mm-hmm. What if my son grows up to be bigger than Basquiat? And his first memory is that my father wasn't at my fourth birthday party mm-hmm. when I was painting trees. Mm-hmm. I would be heartbroken. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I would be heartbroken, but also realizing that if you don't put your kids in situations to be successful and learn how to nurture their passions, how could they turn their passions into their paycheck? Mm. You know what I'm saying? If I just dismiss it as a hobby, that's not fair to him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm teaching all of my boys how to turn the things that they love and monetize it into their truth.
For
sure. They can make money doing stuff they love.
Absolutely.
And even Jackson with coding. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We take him to a coding class so he can learn how to monetize that. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, dang, DeVal.
Yeah.
You really dropped the ball on that. You need to really focus on making sure that Kaz knows that, you know, there are ways that you can paint and be exemplary at it. For example, one of my cousins is a graphic designer. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. He went to a phenomenal artist.
Right. He went to LaGuardia mm-hmm. in Brooklyn School of the Arts. Mm-hmm. And I went to college for graphic design. And now he does graphic design and he can sketch and everything. And I'm like, wow, you know, like, I really missed that opportunity.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, there'd be a ton more to catch up on. But it's just funny how that happened. And then we were exposed to all of the art in this person's home. And we were just so floored by how beautiful these pieces were.
Yeah.
They were conversation pieces. I mean, we were just going to look at the house, but we ended up spending more time talking about and having discussions about art pieces. And that's something that I, as a mom now looking to take the children out to do different activities, that's something that I always used to do with Jackson and stuff pre-COVID, was take him to a show or take him out to a museum or something. I do want for our boys to be well-rounded in that they're exposed to so many different things. That's one thing I admire about an aunt and uncle that I have down here in Georgia. They have three boys also. Mm. And she warned me, she's like, if you have one more, it's going to be a boy. I'm telling you, she's a pediatrician. And their boys are just so like well-rounded. Like they go to museums now as adults. Like that's mm-hmm. cute little date nights for them with their girlfriends. Right. But they can still go to a Hawks game or something and still play basketball with us in the backyard when they come by to visit. Yeah. So the well-roundedness is the approach that I think that we're taking as parents to make sure that our children are exposed to so many different things, so that when we see they're honing in on something in particular, then we can say, all right, this seems to be an interest. Let's pour into that. So that way they can be the best at whatever that task is. I also had to learn about that being a teachable moment for me too, on the reverse side of things, whereas basketball wasn't necessarily my thing before. Mm-hmm. So instead of me, I had to miss a couple basketball games with Jackson or practices because I was pregnant, but now I make it a purpose to make sure if I'm available, someone can mm-hmm. watch the baby, I'm going to those basketball games and I'm sitting next to you asking like, so what's this play? Mm-hmm. What exactly does traveling mm-hmm. look like? You know, so in the event that you're not at a game, I can be there to help to scream and coach him in a sense from the sidelines and be involved and have those conversations with Jackson about what he's interested in. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what the sport is or regardless if it's art or whatever, I want to be able to be somewhat knowledgeable enough to have, you know, thoughtful conversations with them when they do come to me excited about whatever their activity is.
I feel like for us as parents, we have to create a space where our boys don't feel like they're going to lose their blackness for not engaging in activities that traditionally Black people often engage in. Mm-hmm. You know, because we heard mm-hmm. that growing up. You know what I'm saying? You don't play basketball. It's like, you don't play basketball, you Black. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, you don't listen to Biggie and Tupac, like you black. Like, you, right. You listen to opera, you play the piano, uh-huh. You play the guitar. Like, uh-huh. Why would you do that? You black. I feel like we as a people tend to miss out on other opportunities because we only stay in the lane that we've had, quote unquote, success in that lane.
Yes.
You know, you take a black kid to play tennis or you take a black kid to play golf and then all of a sudden they lose part of their blackness.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I think of going to this wedding that I went to once and the first thing that I was hit with at the door was this black young man playing a violin.
Mm.
He was playing an electric violin. He was playing all the latest songs. He mm-hmm. was playing hip hop. He was playing some rap, some reggae. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, mm-hmm. that was my first time seeing a black man playing mm-hmm. a violin, a young man too. He was maybe in his 20s, but just had yeah. a certain style about him and a certain flair. And when I found out after the fact how much he charged per event, I was like, oh,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
getting a coin. This is a bag for you.
Yeah.
Because you're yeah. using that talent. And I'm thinking about how many black boys may have been made fun of
absolutely,
you know. So I got four boys. I'm like, any y'all want to play the violin? Because it was super cute. We had a whole little situation going on and it was really, really dope to see. So, and also I'm thinking about the fact that we are very purposeful with exposing our children, like I said in my soundbite, to different professionals that we know mm. who happen to be close friends or family who are in different fields.
Yeah.
So we have, for example, my brother's best friend, Sanjay.
Brain surgeon. Literal brain surgeon.
Actual literal brain yeah. surgeon who is like one of the top brain surgeons yeah. in Pennsylvania right now. That's something that you could do.
Yeah.
Then we have Dakota's godfather, Sean Freeman, who's going to be on a future episode with yeah. talking about finances,
yeah.
who's doing very well within his field.
Bilal is in financial sales.
Yep. Bilal, yep.
Cairo's godfather, Stephen, who played 10 years in the NFL, mm-hmm. now works as an executive at the NFL office.
Kaz's godfather, Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
he was the CFO. He was the CFO of the city of Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the mm-hmm. city of Boston. He was the CFO of the entire city. He worked directly under the governor for 4 years.
Yeah.
But also played basketball, was a Division I basketball player at Colgate, but basketball to him was a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he
mm-hmm.
was always really good. Both of his children are academically advanced. His daughter goes to Lehigh. His son, Ducey, I think, just got a scholarship to Lehigh as well, but also was getting offers from Duke and other schools to play lacrosse, mm-hmm. which is another mm-hmm. interesting aspect that so many black athletes only head towards football
or basketball. Yeah.
Not realizing that the barrier of entry to gain an athletic scholarship is easier in sports like golf, lacrosse, and tennis.
Right.
You know, so having all of these boys and seeing them excel at different aspects of things in their life early made me realize, like, I have to open my mind up to what black excellence is going to look like for them, because it's not going to look like what we expect. I remember being 9 years old. We were coming down Rockaway Parkway, headed to the Pizza Hut across from Brookline Projects.
I remember
this
there.
Vividly. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself, I want to be rich. Do I want to sing and dance like Michael Jackson? Or do I want to catch passes like Jerry Rice? And I remember thinking in my mind that those were my only two ways to get rich.
Mm.
I remember sitting out I was in, it is vivid in my mind. I was looking out the back of my dad's Cutlass. My brother was next to me. And my father was taking us to the Pizza Hut because my mom had just had my sister. We just moved to Canarsie. And I remember thinking, like, damn, if I'm going to be rich, I'm going to have to do one of those two things.
Mm.
At nine, that's because that's all I saw at right. nine was the rich people were in entertainment or athletics.
Mm-hmm.
And now at 37, I'm like, I want my sons to have a greater appreciation for life, but also a broader spectrum of what wealth looks like to them mm-hmm. and how they can attain it
mm-hmm.
outside of these two options.
Those two options, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. And I think it's great in that we are building a network of people around us where they're literally we're exposed to so many different things where if we ever had to call on a resource for mm-hmm. whatever reason, that we'd be able to do that and do that confidently knowing that that person will be able to point them in the right direction,
right.
be a resource to them, but also too, letting them find their own way.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering where we're thinking the pressure of perfectionism, where that falls into this entire realm, because I think at some points it can do more harm than good, especially for Black people with a host of generational burdens and you know, things that we're carrying. The idea of Black excellence can be a trigger for the collective fear of failure. But as parents, I think that we have to work hard to create an environment that allows us to, you know, position our children to excel in whatever way they can. And how do we pressure them? Or how do we encourage them to be excellent without the pressure of perfection?
Well, this is the thing, right? Especially for young Black kids. It's not just about being perfect at what you do. It's also being perfectly Black at what you do. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I can't only excel, but I have to excel by excelling through my Blackness. You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing.
Which is the thing. Even Jackson, he said something to me the other day. We were going to play basketball, and I was like, yo, you got to be tough. You know, you can't. And when I was speaking about toughness, I was speaking about mental toughness, mental fortitude, physically tough. Don't let people push you around. And he's just like, no, I'm tough, right, Daddy? Because I'm from the hood, right? And I was just like, but even in his mind, right, his Blackness is partnered with the fact that he's from Brooklyn and that he's originally from the hood. And that's part of what he has to remind himself. I get to be Black because I have to say I'm from the hood. His brothers never grew up living in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. His brothers grew up living where we live now in a 12,000 square foot home. They're never going to be able to say that they came from the hood.
Right.
So does that mean that they don't exist excellently in their Blackness?
Right.
Because they don't have the same struggle as other Black people? You know what I'm saying? And that's where I think the perfectionism comes from, because it's like, I have to be perfect in my craft, but then I have to be perfect for Black people all the time, because if I'm not perfect in my Blackness, Black people like to call other Black people out for not exuding Blackness enough. But then it's like, well, what does Blackness look like to you?
Right, exactly. And does it have to be struggle? What's the barometer that we're using to measure this level of Blackness that each person has?
I see it with, I don't want to say a name, but there's a celebrity couple that we grew up, a lot of people grew up idolizing, and they have adult kids now. And people always make fun about their kids or say something about the kids. Their kids are weird. You know, the kids are weird. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens when you don't raise your kids like they're Black kids. And I'm saying to myself, we call their kids weird because they think freely and do what they want.
With their parents' support.
Right, with their parents' support. But think about how like sick that is. That we as a community will label another family, and I'm talking about a family of kids who are very productive members of society, who are helping society. And what we hear is they're weird because they don't exist in the Blackness that we want them to exist in. And think about the pressure it takes for a kid nowadays to exist in that excellence of Blackness, especially with social media.
Oh my God. That just adds a whole nother layer to things that complicates it even more. And then you have to deal with not only children who are just mean, but you have adults. Who are mean too, and adults who are doubling down on children, you know, to say, criticize them or to judge. So yeah, that's interesting that you brought them up, because it's like, what exactly is that measure of the Blackness that we're looking for that will equate to enough?
And
that's just the constant pressure for Black children, Black adults in general, to always have to prove the level of Blackness, not just to themselves, but to their peers.
Well, like you said, a lot of that pressure oftentimes comes from parents, right? Because I know, for example, I've put pressures on Jackson to be a certain way, not realizing that my ideas were very closed-minded, you know, early on in my parenting process. And as I got older now, you know, I realized that I'm allowed to be a little bit more free with my ideas of what I want from my children. But I think it starts with the parents, right? If you put all these pressures on your sons or your daughters to be a certain way, right? They then carry those out into the world, and they look for validation from their peers and from other people to feel as if they're making their parents proud because of all the things that their parents have instilled in them.
Right.
And that's difficult for anyone who is trying to exist in their own passion. Because what if your passion doesn't exist in the realm of the traditional Blacktivity, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, what if you love to play the violin and listen to opera?
Right.
But now, you know, I can't exist in this place because that place doesn't exist in traditional Black activity. So it's like, well, let me find something else and do this on the side. Well, now you find something else to do, but you don't love it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know you're not going to get the support from your community or maybe even your parents.
Well, yeah.
And you'd be miserable doing something you don't want to do.
Prime example of with my side of the family. I mean, it's traditional. I don't know if it's West Indian-ness, but it's like, you know, you got to be a doctor, you got to be a lawyer, yeah. You got to be an engineer. And if you ain't mm-hmm. one of them three things, or a nurse, four. And if you're not one of those three or four things, then your level of success is gone to shit. Because
absolutely.
It's like, how dare you want to exist in a space where you're going to be potentially an artist
mm-hmm.
or you're going to be a singer. Like even that's when singing is not even good enough in some households. You know what
nope.
I mean? Being an entertainer is not, you know, looking at what we do. It's funny because I was browsing on, you know, Instagram the other day and I sometimes see comments. I sometimes don't, but I happened to catch one where someone said, I think it was a picture with my dad or my dad mm-hmm. was in a video with us. And he was like, the person said, oh, does your dad now understand what you do? Is he like
right.
happy for you?
Right.
And does he understand what you do now?
Right.
Because for a long time, it was just like this apprehension, which I know it was coming from a place of love because he wanted me to be
absolutely.
Excellent in whatever I did. But he just wasn't sure about my path. So what he can only encourage me to do is what he knew. But now when I've made my mm-hmm. own way and I'm successful at that, he's kind of like, oh, now I get it.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes it just takes kind of breaking away from that and proving to your parents or to your family that this is my passion. This is what I want to do.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because I actually have a new parenting tip that I've been implementing with the boys
mm-hmm.
that I want to make public
mm-hmm.
because it was a way for us to discuss finances, but also encourage them in ways to teach them to turn their passion into their paycheck, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it came time to talk about finances with Jackson, our oldest, who's 10, mm-hmm. turning 11, I decided I was going to give him a bank account so he mm-hmm. could stop asking me for money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to not give him allowance
right.
because I don't believe that you should get allowance for doing things that you should naturally do as an adult. You wake up, you clean up after yourself, you make up your bed, you clean your bathroom. That's stuff you have to do to survive as an adult. I'm not paying
you
for
that. Exactly.
To do that. But what I will do is pay you to do things that can become ultimately your paycheck. So, for example, you want to go to coding class. You go to coding class consistently and do well in coding class. I'll pay you for that.
Mm.
You want to play basketball. You practice consistently and you excel at basketball. I'll pay you for that. You want to know why? You'll get paid to be a coder. You'll get paid to be a basketball player. And you'll get paid to practice at those things,
mm-hmm.
but you will never get paid to make up your bed. So
that's
for me, I've decided to turn the children's activities
mm-hmm.
into their allowance.
Mm.
So what happens is they'll learn how to enjoy the process of being great at something
mm-hmm.
by getting paid for being consistent.
So it's incentivized in a sense.
It's incentivized because
yeah.
the only way you can get paid in life is you excel and create a service
mm-hmm.
for whatever the passion is that you create,
mm-hmm.
right? So you have to create a need for your paintings if you're a painter,
mm-hmm.
right? You have to create a need for your service as a basketball player
yeah,
to get paid as a painter. It's all about the demand. So the only way you can create a need for something is to be so good at it that people want it.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can become so good at something is by practicing the skill over and over and over again until you become a master.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time for children, it's difficult for them to enjoy the process of being a master at something because they're never incentivized to practice.
Mm.
They either want to play at the games or they want to do recitals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. it's never a thing where I enjoy practice. So what I'm trying to teach my boys is enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I've learned about TV, what I've learned about film, what I've learned about basketball is that people don't pay you to perform. People pay you to practice so that when you do perform, you can be great at it. Because practice is the hard part.
The hard part, yep. That's
and
what
I was like, wow,
if
you think about it that way and you apply that to your children, you can create excellence in your children.
I didn't think of that because one of the questions we had here was like, how do we take their biggest interests that may be rooted in play and how do you use that play activity to teach them about effort and excellence? Which brings me to thinking about the times that you've spoken to Jackson about just even playing with his friend. So, for example, a friend comes by and they're in the backyard and they're playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing and Jackson loses. And you come back and you're like, yo, Jackson, why'd you lose? And mm-hmm. he's like, I wasn't even really playing like
yep.
that. I was just shooting around. I wasn't really playing like that. And you were like, but you lost, though. Like,
right. Right.
Like nobody in this house likes to lose at anything.
At all.
We're probably one of the most competitive households
absolutely.
Ever in life. So it doesn't matter if your friend comes by and y'all just shooting around. Even if you are just shooting around, you're going to win on that shoot around. So in that turn, it's us taking something that should be fun and then making sure that they're just excellent at whatever it is Absolutely. That they do and putting effort into it regardless of the situation.
Absolutely. It's creating a competitive mindset, because the only way you can exist in this life, mm-hmm. we live in a capitalist country, mm-hmm. right, where you have to pretty much earn resources to survive. Mm-hmm. So this whole idea of this utopia, you know, we play games just for fun, or we do things just for fun. No, that's not the way the world works.
Right.
So if you begin to incentivize your kids from early to make excellence the standard, mm-hmm. right? Once excellence becomes the standard for a child, excellence becomes the standard for them as an adult. Mm-hmm. And then once you do anything excellently, is that a word, excellently? Yes.
Make it one. Excellently. Make it one if it's not
this, this
one.
Is what we do on Dead Ass Podcast. We wake up words. Once you become excellent at doing anything, mm-hmm. you can get paid for it, mm-hmm. right? The only reason why the young man at the wedding was getting paid to play the violin is because he was the dopest at playing the violin.
Absolutely. That's because he practiced over and over and over again playing the violin, then I'm sure finding a way to make mm-hmm. these songs that are common top mm-hmm. 40, you know, popular songs mm-hmm. that people enjoy, then hearing it in that fashion, which is completely Absolutely. Different. I can't tell you how many people were asking him for business cards and his social handles so that way they could find him after.
Listen, I've learned being a parent for the past 10 years. If you can incentivize your kids in their passions, mm-hmm. they will learn to turn their passions into their paycheck. And then when they turn 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, mm-hmm. they'll move out mm-hmm. and you'll get your wife back.
That's the aim.
And then you'll be empty nesters.
That is the aim.
You see what I'm saying? That is the aim. So it's like you're teaching them how to be great at what they do so they can exist in excellence, regardless of whether that excellence is a common black activity.
Well, what about you as an adult? How are you inspired to be excellent at the things you do?
You know, there's one thing about myself, right, that I don't think anyone knows, mm-hmm. that I'm extremely self-motivated mm-hmm. to change the world. Mm. Right, and I just know that you can only change the world through resources, through capital, mm-hmm. and through influence. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can gain resources, capital, mm-hmm. and influence is to work hard mm-hmm. and be great at something, right? Mm-hmm. You want to inspire people. You have to be great at something so that you can, like, the greatest compliment you can be told is that you inspired me to do something. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was young, I always knew that I existed in a place that was not going to be my existence for the rest of my life, which was Brooklyn, right? Mm-hmm. I wanted to do something bigger. I wanted to do something greater, and I wanted to help people, mm-hmm. right? I personally want to be so rich and famous that if there's a family in anywhere that can't do something, I can give them the resources to do it. Mm-hmm. Like that's my motivation. I want to be able to, if there's a young mom who can't afford something or can't get this, I can either put a call in to make sure that that gets taken care of, or I can give them the resources myself. Because the truth of the matter is that the whole world is just arguing over distribution of resources. And everybody doesn't have the same access to get those resources as other people. That don't mean that they're less deserving, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but they don't have access to it. Mm-hmm. There has
or
to
there's
be
hardships that people like, there can't are hardships, avoid.
Right. But there has to be a balance. Someone who sits in the middle, who doesn't have anything else to gain from it, mm-hmm. but to say, you know what, this just kind of isn't fair. Mm-hmm. Like, can we just, you know, and in the world today, everything is political.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we give it to this person, then we have to give it to that person. And if we get, and it's like, yo, no, fuck that.
Mm-hmm. This person in this moment right here may need this. Okay, mm-hmm. their hospital bill may be $100,000, right? The hospital can't cover it, because if they cover this person, they have to cover the next person. If they cover this, fine. I'll cover that person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's always been my motivation. I want to be able to help the underdog. And I know you can only do that with capital, with influence. And I want to be able to be so influential that I can help people. That's my motivation. Like that's just what it is.
Look at you. So I love that your reason for excellence, or your desire for excellence, is rooting in being what God loves, is a cheerful giver, because that's why I think he always continues to bless you in abundance for that reason.
That's the only reason why he blesses us.
Yes, us.
Because
exactly.
I need help doing this, right. And a lot of this comes from you.
Right.
But if you think about it,
feel the
same
the
way.
Urge to want it. Yeah, you, everything we're
never
in agreement on.
Yeah, you've never once said, I don't think we should give or do this. You've opened up our house to so many children and so many people from our neighborhood when I was doing prototype. Mm-hmm. You've always been a cheerful giver as well. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that you have a fiduciary responsibility to give when you've received so much.
Absolutely.
I feel like God only gives in abundance to people, knowing that those people's responsibility is to give to other people.
Give to others, yep.
Some people take advantage of that.
Forward. Yeah.
You know, because everybody is not in the same way. Mm-hmm. That's why 99% of the world's wealth is controlled by 1% of the population. Mm-hmm. Something has to give.
Right.
You know, and it's not always going to give, but if I could be the one person that, you know, does different. I mean, Bill Gates is known for his philanthropy. Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson is known for his philanthropy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many, like, super wealthy people who you'd be like, he gave away half of his fortune, $500 million to organizations. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because what is this man going to
do with
$500 million?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Ain't enough material stuff in the world for that.
But what drives you, though?
I think that
you asked me.
Yeah, I think in part what fuels that, in addition to wanting to always give and wanting to help, because that's always been in my nature. A lot of it is a pride thing, and it's mm-hmm. a pride for not even just for me, but just for my family. I think about where my mother and father have come from. Mm-hmm. I hear stories of, you know, the hardships they've had to endure coming to America. When they did, from Jamaica and St. Vincent, respectively. And I think about the sacrifices that they've made. And I think about, you know, my mom talking about being locked out of her apartment and sleeping on the floor in the hallway of the apartment building that she mm-hmm. lived in for some nights, because that was just the card she was dealt, all while she was trying to work at Burger King and put herself through school. And
right.
there's so many things that my parents have done for me, my family, that I feel like it's my responsibility to be excellent for them, to show them that everything that they've done is not in vain, and to be able to then pay it forward to them too, not just to the general public, but to my family, to make sure that they're always going to be okay. That's a big, big thing for me, especially being the oldest in my family as well. And then now being excellent as a mom and mm-hmm. wanting my children to not just hear me talk about being excellent, but being an example of excellence for them, to say, mm-hmm. wow, my mom actually did that. And that's something you kind of checked me on one day too. You're like, you can't just talk about doing things and expect for the kids to just fall in line. You have to actually be that source of excellence
Absolutely.
For them to see and to emulate. Because I kind of fall into some of my own bad habits sometimes that mm-hmm. we see in some of our children.
Yeah.
And you're like, such and such is just like that because you do that, and you can't tell him you want to correct it. And my answer is always like, well, I don't want him to do the stuff that I do. I want
him to be better. Right.
But how is he going to know to be better if you can't show him you overcoming that bad habit that you have?
Absolutely.
So that's going to be one of my major focuses now that I feel like I can get my life back in order, think straight. I have my mm-hmm. four boys. I'm not going to be pregnant again. I'm going to be in my sound and right mind to just kind of move forward in life, to be the most excellent version of Kadeen that I can be. To make you proud, to make my family proud and my kids.
And that's all we can ask for.
Yeah.
You've been doing a great job, though.
Baby. Thank you, baby. You too.
Except for that left eyelash. That left eyelash ain't excellent right now.
You see, you keep getting on my eyelash, Mel. And you know, it's the struggle, because when you're tired and you look half cockeyed trying to put on an eyelash, listen, guys.
You should let me help you.
The struggle.
In your excellence.
Next time, I'm going to help you. Let you help me to be excellent in my eyelash application. So let's take a quick break, y'all. We're going to get into some listen letters after we get into the ad.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can, because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know, I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, y'all, we back with Listener Letters. Of course, as you guys know, this is season 7. Whose favorite part of the show is this?
Mine.
Nosy Deanie.
Mine.
Nosy
Deanie. Well, in that case, I'm going to read the first one.
Good.
Hey, y'all. First off, I love you guys. Thank you. Love you back. So, boom. I've been dealing with an old head for 4 years.
Person's from New York. The person said, okay, so boom. I've been dealing with an old head.
Love it. An old head for 4 years now. I'm 27 and he's 45. Okay.
Sheesh.
And bridging the generational gap has been a struggle. Now, I will state that he's an amazing guy and definitely checks off a lot of my boxes that I would want in a husband. But he's old. And sometimes 45 is not that old. But I guess in relation to 27, it is.
18 years.
Listen, I'm close to 40-something, so I'm trying to hold on, child. I'm trying to hold on. But he's old, and sometimes he can be really stuck in his ways. I try to introduce new things in our relationship, like bondage, sex clubs, etc.
Oh, she trying to get it in.
Spicy.
What's your name?
And he usually shuts me down by saying that's weird millennial shit. I like that weird millennial shit. But anywho,
you ain't trying to go to those sex clubs. You damn liar.
Not a sex club. I don't know about all that. But
or bondage. You ain't trying to have nobody tie you up. DeVal, let me out. DeVal. DeVal. If I ever try to tie this woman
up.
The
idea of it would be cute. Just don't try to tickle me. Don't try to tie me up and tickle me. Then we gonna fight. I'm into a couple of different kinks and he just can't seem to wrap his head around them. I'm tired of the compromise being so one-sided. It's like all the years past, he wants me to just be this vanilla ass girl taking care of his kids, and that's not me. When we first met, he would try a couple small things, but that has dwindled down. Any suggestions on how I can get him to become more open-minded? Thank you for your time and trying to help a sister out.
She's a super freak. Super freak. She's super freak. Hey, yeah. Look, man. Kay and I was just talking about this, man. When niggas get to be 45, man, they stuck. Niggas say you can't teach an old dog. You can't teach an old dog.
They're stuck in more ways than one. and it couldn't be, it can be a positive in that someone who's in their 40, like someone in that 40 range, if you're dating and you're looking for someone in that 40 range, it's kind of like good because it's like, I know what I want. You know what you want. Either we're going to get together or we're not. And it kind of eliminates a lot of that game.
Yeah, I get
chasing,
it.
Chasing, playing, trying to figure it. Things out, period.
I get it.
But with this gap that y'all have right now, it's going to be a little hard.
Bruh.
And you're not going to be satisfied if you're having to always suppress those desires that you have for like the same old, same old.
Bruh. She did what most people do. He checks the boxes. And he checks the boxes. And that's when you go through life trying to check boxes. As opposed to doing what makes you happy, you're going to end up being miserable. Mm-hmm. We talked about that.
Yep.
All of these boxes that he supposedly checked were boxes created as you were conditioned to believe that these were the things you want. Mm-hmm. Clearly, those ain't the things you want if you focused on this.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen.
And no one's checking all those boxes anyway. If they are said boxes, people aren't checking all of them. There's always going to be something that I feel like is
missing, check all your boxes.
Something that suffers. I mean, you check pretty much all of my boxes.
What you mean pretty much? What box
pretty
I don't check?
All of no, you do. You do.
What box I don't check?
I'll have to think about that one. I mean, like, no,
I'm putting you on the spot. Dead ass.
Sometimes what, the boxes what spot, shift,
what
though,
box I don't check?
I'm talking about shifting in that, like, the day-to-day. Sometimes you may want something in that moment that you didn't know you wanted before. It's not like the boxes that are the be-all that ends-all. You check those boxes. Like, you're
that
handsome.
Sounds, that sounds like a deflection
cute.
To me.
You handsome, like a you're a provider, me. You're funny. Like, those are the boxes that check. But sometimes there's things on a day-to-day basis that maybe in that moment you don't do.
Like?
I don't know. Like, you don't leave me alone.
Look, Val. Look how she's trying to deflect.
I didn't call into the listener letter. Shit, she did.
I know you didn't. I'm just saying, for me, I don't feel like I settled.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't feel think I settled
like,
either.
I feel like you check all of my boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you check
but
all of my
boxes. But I don't think that
boxes.
There's some people who have that, where someone's going to check all of their boxes all the time.
That's the
we're
problem.
We're an anomaly.
That's but the, no.
I think we're an anomaly. In
I don't
that
think
we
so.
Feel like we check each other's boxes
I don't.
Off.
I don't think so. I think this is what I think. This is what I think. Even when it comes to just marriage in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority or the vast narrative of America right now is that black men don't what? Support, protect black women, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what everything's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't love black women. We don't want black women, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, over 80% of black men who are married to who?
Black women.
Right. Which means, once again, the loud minority is winning.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? The loud minority is winning. That's not the truth. This is not real. Same thing goes for marriage. There are a lot of people who are married who found the person that checks all of their boxes.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is when you're going through that box checking process, there are some ups and downs and some things that you have to figure out while checking the boxes, just like us. If you would have listened to everybody else and if I would have listened to everybody else, I would have missed out on the person that checked all my boxes because I was listening to other people trying to check boxes for me.
Mm-hmm.
And reason why I'm saying that is because there are people out there who can find someone who checks all of their boxes if, like we talked about earlier, they fall in love with the process of finding out how these boxes are supposed to be checked. You see what I'm saying?
I see that. But do you not think that while those boxes may be checked in the moment, as things change, as things shift, that there may be a box that you're just like, maybe they don't fit in that box anymore, so now we have to kind of shift and find another box?
I don't think that. I'm going to tell you why. You and I are you my best friend.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Agreed. My boxes may change. But we talked about being of service to each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I say to you, babe, I need this, what is your first thought process?
Well, I'm going to have to find a way to get that.
And that's mine for you, right?
So that's true.
And that's my thing. When there's a box that you say that you want checked off, if it's within my power, I'm going to work my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, box. You can't say tomorrow, like, nigga, I don't want a nigga that's 6'8". I'm never going to be 6'8".
Right.
But you see what I'm saying?
Right. So that can never be the argument.
That can never be the argument. But what I'm saying
I can
is,
see
is
that. Things that
are,
yeah.
When you're of service to someone or you go into a relationship looking to be of service, you see what boxes they need checked off and you figure out that's what I want. I want to check this person's boxes. Like that to me is what marriage and relationships are about. I see the person boxes. I'm checking the motherfuckers myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not even waiting for her to check off the boxes for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been doing the same thing for me. Now, first 5 years of marriage, We didn't give a shit about each other's boxes. I was focused on my own boxes.
That's a fact.
So you were too.
Yeah, I was checking my boxes over here. Like, all right, I don't know what boxes he got, but.
And that's my point.
Right. You'll never very be unsuccessful in that.
You see what I'm
saying? Trying to coexist with you, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And this leads me back to my message to her. Sis, you says he checks off as many boxes as he can, right? Those are boxes you probably checked. Mm-hmm. If he's not willing to meet you and checking the rest of the boxes, maybe that's not the person you should spend the rest of your life with, because that person is not willing to be of service to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's my message.
Right. Yeah, because he's not open. He doesn't seem to be open. He's not open to it, so.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. And if it bothers you that much, what you going to do, just suppress for the rest of your life?
When you want to be tied up and slapped around and whatnot?
You see what I'm saying? And girl. This goes back to even the
in a sexual the manner. Not like that, y'all.
Yeah, you know, everybody want to be tied up and slapped
around. Don't take it out of context.
But this even goes back to the monogamy episode, mm-hmm. right? If he wants her to be monogamous to him, mm-hmm. and she says she requires certain things, you chose this woman to be your partner, right? So if she's saying she wants this, you're not even going to try it. You're just going to shut it down. That's selfish as hell. Mm-hmm. Now, if she goes out and finds someone else that wants to do that, you're going to be mad.
You're going
to
be mad. Yep.
You could have been the person to do it, but you said no.
Right.
And that's what being of service to someone in a relationship is. If it's within the realm of your physical capabilities mm-hmm. to get it done.
Sometimes you got
to
step out that comfort zone.
Yes. And be of service to your partner. Like, that's all it is. Like, there's no way around it.
Pivot.
No way around it.
Point blank, pivot.
And if you don't be in a relationship. There's nothing wrong with that.
Check it.
Number two. Good stuff. Number
two.
Hi. My name is Marjorie Moment. She gave
that's
us
an alias? It's not like an alias, sis.
Marjorie Moment. Alias. Major Moment. That's really what her name is.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Marjorie Moment. 31-year-old mother of three from Philly. What up, Philly?
Mm-hmm.
First, I want to start by saying you both are amazing. You are amazing, Marjorie. I admire your union and transparency. Y'all are motivating and funny AF. Thank you. Keep blazing. That's what we do. Got Just Blaze on my triceps. 2021, I spent a lot of time manifesting my business ideas. With the new year approaching, I began producing some business goals, needs, etc. to help with creating a plan to jumpstart. However, I feel stuck. I am experiencing a bit of fear and anxiety, which stems from me feeling like there is no room for failure. I don't have the courage nor funds to fail. I'm struggling to be patient with myself as it gets discouraging at times. The vision is clear, but grasping it doesn't seem feasible. What advice do you have with managing your current lifestyle while pursuing the lifestyle you desire? How do you overcome your fear and just get started? Mm. You just said it.
You
just
did it.
Get started.
Yes, girl. You just it's all there, Marjorie. You pretty much talked yourself into answering your question.
Yo, Marjorie, listen to me right now. I had a plan for my family. I had a plan for my family from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It got to a point when I retired from football. I had no clue how I was going to get to where I wanted to get to, right? So I was like, you know, I need to start a business to give myself more capital, like we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. more capital so I can take chances, because I knew everything wasn't going to go right, to build something that my family can be proud of. First thing I did was sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I had an orange, red orange, Audi A6. Got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Kadena and I used to like to go on vacations.
Got the Metro card. Yep.
Kadena and I used to go on vacations. For 4 years in a row, we didn't go on no vacations. Mm-mm. There was no jewelry. Mm-mm. There was no bags. There was no expensive cars. I mean, expensive sneakers. No expensive clothes. We sacrificed so that we can live the way we want to live. That's all it takes.
Yep.
Having a dream, the mental fortitude to see it through, have a plan to know that there's going to be ups and downs, and also the patience to know that it's not going to happen overnight.
Yep.
We started this dream in 2010.
Yeah.
2010, when I officially retired from the NFL.
2010.
And we did not receive financial security till about 2014.
Yeah, I would say security where we feel like, okay.
Yes, we're doing.
Things are okay.
We're good.
And then now finally feeling like we have that autonomy over our life that we've always wanted. And still continuing to grow, to create and build this legacy for our boys so that it's extended past our generation.
Right.
Still something that we're working on.
2014 is when my 30th birthday. That's when I brought my black Audi A7.
Mm-hmm.
So it was at that moment that I finally said, I can do something for myself. It was 4 years.
Yeah.
From my official retirement.
Yep.
that I did that. Yep. 4 years, Marjorie, that Kadeen and I invested. And this was crazy because we were just talking about this the other day, right? I finally reached a point in my life where I can look at my wife and say, baby, I got it.
Yes.
If you don't want to wake up for the next 6 months and you want to chill and go on vacation, do that. I got it. Mm-hmm. But for 20 years, she and I have been together building this.
Building.
And
yeah, 20 years
from 18.
Sheesh.
From 18, we've been building to get to this point.
Yes.
And that's what people don't see. They feel like, oh, it's going to happen in a year or two. Mm-hmm. You know, if it don't happen in 18 months, if six months, nothing turns around, I'm going to stop. 18 years, Kadeen and I have been talking about this and building the bricks.
Chipping away.
And finally, we got to this point now in 2019 mm-hmm. where we were able to move mm-hmm. to LA mm-hmm. and kind of say, let's go to the next level.
Right. So. And I think that sparked it for us. It was taking that chance again, now getting outside of that comfort zone that we were in, making ourselves a little bit more uncomfortable. Now this time, not just with us, but with kids in tow.
Yep.
That definitely added a layer of anxiety for me because I was like, oh my God, what is this going to look like, us having this new environment? But it required us getting uncomfortable in that situation to then propel us to the mm-hmm. next level.
And also understanding that you're not going to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
Oh, no.
It's okay during this process to feel unsure. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But also have the mental fortitude to keep going even when you feel unsure.
Absolutely.
Because I don't want people to feel like, you know, DeVal was so confident. He knew exactly 100% that he was going to do and kept going.
Nah, son. There was mad days we did not.
Oh, my gosh.
We were just like, what the hell is going on? What are we doing? What is this? Trying to like reassess, like, is this really my purpose? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Because it shouldn't be this hard or it shouldn't take this long. But you said it, keep blazing to us. We're going to tell you, girl, flip it. Keep it blazing. And if you'd like to be featured as one of our listener letters, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
There you are. Moment of truth time. Did you jot one down?
You want to go first?
No, you go first.
I'll go first. Check this out. It's going to be super profound. All right. Black excellence doesn't have a black face.
Ooh, bars.
You see that? Black bars. Excellence doesn't have a black face. Which means you don't have to look a certain way, act a certain way, talk a certain way, be a certain type of person to be considered black excellence. All you have to do is exist in excellence in whatever it is that your life means to you.
And just happen to be black. In the process.
Yes.
I love that. Good stuff. I think mine goes back to thinking about the kid just because my mind is always on the kids. As I wear my Raising Boys shirt here,
mm-hmm.
Is that I want to encourage all parents to mm-hmm. really pay attention to and consciously parent so that you are aware of where your children's strengths lie, mm-hmm. their weaknesses lie, their mm-hmm. interests lie. So that way you can then better be a conduit for them to get to that next level of whatever it is. I think far too many times, sometimes parents are kind of living vicariously to children.
Ooh,
they're
yeah.
implementing their own ways on their children. And I think at the most, what we should be doing is encouraging a sense of work ethic, a sense of discipline at the very least. So whatever it is that they decide to do, they'll be excellent at that.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
That was fire. Give me some.
You still remember the handshake.
I love you. I'm never going to forget that. The handshake is excellence.
That's a fact.
That's, yes.
It's excellence. Yes. Just excellence. That's it. So be sure to follow us on social media, y'all. Dead Ass the Podcast on Instagram. And I'm Kadeen. I am.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Dead Ass, y'all. Yeah.
Peace.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you. And how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.